charcuterie. The main outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the main outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the main outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the main outdoors.
Welcome to the main outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V.
Thank you, sir, and good evening, one and all. Catherine and I are so pleased that you're on board tonight. We'd love to have you with us every week right here on Maine Outdoors. We've got a good program lined up, as we do almost every week, and we invite you to take part in our program. We're a talk radio show, as you should know, and the telephone number, if you'd like to weigh in the next hour, is?
It is 1-800-966-1039.
Okay, and you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 101.3 and 103.9, right here in the Queen City. I'll introduce our guests in just a moment, but first the crew that make the show possible every week. And I think Norm's in there frowning. I'm not sure why.
My mic was
everything frowning. Okay, Norm?
I think can you hear
may
me
have
now?
To do something with Catherine's mic.
Okay, you want me to crack it up a little bit here?
Why don't you go ahead and see what happens?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Oh, there she is.
Okay, there's better. Okay. We're going to introduce our guests. We have two phone guests tonight on our show. I'd like to introduce the crew. The man behind the controls there and the toggle switches and all the switches there in Operations Central, Mr. Norman Plord.
Good evening. How you doing?
We're doing well. Doing well. Thank you. And with him is a face from the past, a fellow who is a former forest ranger, helicopter pilot, and used to back up Jim Layton on the board. He's coming. He's a trainee again, right?
Yes, I guess so.
Scotty Bates, glad to have you there, and I'm sure Norm will teach you well.
Oh, yes.
And also, our co-host tonight is a registered Maine guide. She's from Aroostook County, and she had a whale of a day fishing on Pushaw, and she's going to tell us all about it in a few minutes.
It
Catherine Gordon.
It was a great day. It was a wonderful day out
Looks
there.
Like you did from the pictures. Yeah. Wow, those are nice bass.
That was great. It was the best fishing day there.
Those
ever.
Were real slobber knockers, as they say.
They were big.
They were really big. Very nice, yeah. Our guest tonight, in this order, we're going to talk. First, we're going to talk with my son Josh and his wife Becca, who just did a 40-mile canoe trip from Sebumik all the way down to the takeout there at your Suncook. They had a wonderful trip. They said nobody capsized.
Oh, that's good.
Which is good.
Yeah.
And they ate like kings, and they used reflector ovens. I want to pursue that a little bit.
Oh, I'd like to hear about that.
Have you ever tried that?
I haven't. No,
I've tried it, but not successfully.
Yeah.
Everything came out half-cooked. Anyway, we're going to talk to them, and then after that, we'll be hooking up a little later in the program with Bob Romano. Bob is a columnist for the Northwood Journal. He's also a Maine guide up in Rangeley, a fishing guide. And he's going to fill us in on, he did a little survey, Catherine, on the favorite flies of all the guides up
Ooh,
there.
Oh, I'd like to hear that.
So he's going to tell us a little bit about that. And he also has written a couple of nice books, and we'll be talking to Bob after the 7:30 break. I want to remind you, this program is sponsored in part every week by the Northwood Sporting Journal. The June issue is on the newsstands, and you can pick it up. And there's a salmon angler on the cover. And if you'd like to buy a subscription so you can save some money to get your copies every month in the mail, you can call Alicia at the office, and her number is 732-4880, 732-4880. He still has a frown on his face. I'm not quite sure if that's good or bad.
Can you not hear us, Norm? That's not good.
I can hear you. Can you just turn her dial all the way up?
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah.
She's all
the way up. Yep.
We may switch mics.
Yeah,
okay.
Might be a good idea. Okay. So where were we? Okay. Also, remember, we have an online site at sportingjournal.com. If you have a question about advertising in the Sporting Journal, you may contact Tracy Grant at 399-9905. The number again is 399-9905. Okay, a couple of things in Outdoor Digest before we get to the trivia question and our phone guest tonight. The Maine Moose Lottery drawing is going to take place in June. That'll be held at the Acton Fairgrounds, as I recall. And I think the date is, Golly, I don't know if that's this weekend. Maybe this weekend. Not sure. You can check it out by. Do you know, Catherine?
I'm going to look it up right now.
We mentioned it last week. Yeah. Now I've forgotten. I think it's maybe this coming weekend. But anyway, that Moose Lottery drawing is always a great hoedown. And if you've never been to one, even if you haven't applied for a moose permit, they're a lot of fun, a lot of excitement. People get all fired up waiting to hear their names read. And there's also, they have good food there, and they have some little things going on. It's really, really fun. The main Moose Lottery drawing, and did you find a date?
No.
You haven't found it yet.
We're like in a dead zone in this studio.
Oh, yeah, we are. Okay. I think it's you can check it out online at the IFNW website, but I believe it may be this coming weekend. Also, applications for any deer permits. Don't forget, the deadline for those is mid-July. So if you haven't applied for your any deer permit, good time to get it done, and then it won't pass you by. Because if you don't do it by the deadline, you're out of luck. Also, the game wardens are looking for recruits. And if you're interested in being a Maine game warden, or you just want to find out some information, they're having some career information sessions. They'll tell you all. You can answer any questions you may have about being a Maine game warden. You found it?
I did find it. It is Saturday, June 20th at the Acton Fairgrounds.
Okay, June 20. Thank you. June 20 is the Moose Lottery drawing up in Acton. Anyway, if you want to go to one of these sessions, there's one in Gray on Friday, July 24th from 6 to 8. And then there's another one down in Sydney near Augusta on Wednesday, July 29th. And that's from 6 to 8 p.m. And one right here in the Queen City on Thursday, July 30 from 6 to 8 p.m. And Lieutenant Tom McKinney will be there hosting that. So if you have any thoughts about being a Maine game warden, this is a good way to get some valuable information. Check it out. Again, in Bangor, it's Thursday, July 30, 6 to 8 p.m. In Sydney, it's July 29th. And down in Gray, it's July 24th. And they're all from 6 to 8 p.m. in the evening. So you can go to work and still have time to take those in. And finally, we don't have our fishing music tonight, but we may have it next week. But we do have a fishing report. Catherine Gordon had a wonderful day.
Oh, it was
that today?
It was today.
Today.
And it was in the middle of the afternoon, like you would think it was not the best time. But I said, it's really warm. Let's just go for a little boat ride, puttering around. I had this little pink Zebco kids rod, not even a big rod.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I said, stop right here. This is a little secret spot. I always like to stop. I tossed it in, and I caught five big lunkers in a row, like big fish. And well, you saw the picture.
I saw pictures. They're largemouth bass.
Yes. Yeah. Very nice big fish. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The first one that jumped on so aggressively, I thought it might be a pike because Pushaw is full of pike.
Yeah.
And so when I was pulling it, I'm like, this is going to be a big fish. And then it was a huge largemouth. I was excited.
Well, I looked at that little toy rod you were using. That must have been kind of fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
That poor little pink rod was like bent almost in half
that
in.
Yeah, that looks exciting. And what were you using for a lure?
I didn't have anything special. I just had those rubber, you buy them in those little packs.
Oh, the rubber worms?
Yeah.
The chartreuse rubber worms.
Nothing with
that's
me.
That's what Norm uses down in Grand Lake Stream.
There you go. Well, it worked today, I'll tell you.
Chartreuse works well in Canada for trout.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Yeah, that's a really popular color.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. You had a great day fishing.
And then I did a little fly fishing in that little pond right behind Pushaw. It's called Perch Pond. Sometimes it's called Mud Pond.
Yeah.
And I know that in the fall, they stock it with brook trout so that people can ice fish for them.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I'm going to go over there, see if there's anyone left over. And I caught on my fly rod a bunch of black crappie, which these guys in the booth were saying I should have kept and eaten them.
Yeah, they're very good eating. If you like white perch, you like crappies.
Yeah, I guess next time I'll have to keep them and try them.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, fun day.
Well, you did a great day.
Yeah.
Good for you. Wow, that's good. And I think I want to go out there sometime with my little fly rod and my popping bug.
Oh, I'll take you to my secret spot on the lake.
Would you take me to your secret 100%.
Spot? 100%. Yeah, I'll be
you
fun.
Got a deal.
Good. We'll go do that.
I look forward to it.
Good.
Maybe after the 4th when the smoke clears.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Thank you. Okay, that takes care of Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. Again, you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 101.3, 103.9. And also, if you didn't know, we're streaming worldwide. People are listening to us from
all over.
In Bucharest and Madrid, all over the place. Isn't that right, Norm?
That's correct. All over the globe.
Yeah, okay.
It's amazing.
Yeah, you're not frowning anymore, so I guess everything's on the straight and narrow. That's good. Okay, we're going to be talking again. Our guest tonight, if you joined us late, West Branch canoe trippers Josh and Becca Reynolds. My son Josh and his wife Becca had a great trip going down the West Branch of the Penobscot from Sebumic on down to Chesuncook, and they're going to share that trip with us here in just a couple of minutes. Then after that, we're going to hook up with fishing guide Bob Romano, who lives up there in Rangeley, and he's going to tell us all about the favorite flies of all the guides up in the Rangeley area, so that should be quite informative. Right now, though, it's time for the trivia question. Now, Catherine's going to read the question to you. Now, this may be a tough one. Sometimes they're tougher than...
Yeah, I didn't know the answer.
She didn't know the answer to that. And this is good. We'll give you... We have a Northwoods Sporting Journal cap, limited edition cap, a beautiful royal blue with Northwoods Sporting Journal logo on it. And it's no cheapie. It's got all the things in it there, you know. It's a good hat. And if you know the answer... To Catherine's question.
Here we go. What is the name of the famous salmon fishing pool that is below Ripogenus Dam and near Ripogenus Gorge?
Okay, one more time.
What is the name of the famous salmon fishing pool that is below Ripogenus Dam and near Ripogenus Gorge?
Okay, you ponder that. 1-800-966-1039 is the number. We hope to hear from you, and we'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors. That was a short commercial break. Those are always the best kind. And we're going to, do we have any calls coming in?
You've got two callers.
Okay, we have some calls. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. What's your first name? And where are you calling us from?
My first name is Ruth, and I'm calling from Orono.
Okay, Ruth. Nice to have you on board tonight. How are you?
I'm well, thank you very much.
Good. You think you have the right answer, Ruth?
Well, I hope so. I think the answer might be Big Eddy.
No, it's not.
I was afraid somebody
might. Oh, rat.
Yeah.
Gee, that's, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That is a famous pool. In fact, I'll be there next week for a few days and getting tricked by all those salmon there in the Big Eddy. But I'm sorry, Ruth, that's not the right answer. But we appreciate you playing the game, and that's a very,
well, thank you.
Very respectable guess. You have nothing
well,
to be ashamed of.
Well, thank you.
And we appreciate you playing the game, and we hope you won't be mad and go away, but we hope you'll stay tuned.
Oh, absolutely not. And I live out near Pushaw Lake, but not on the lake, and I sure hope I run into Catherine fishing there sometime.
Oh, that would be great fun. I love it. People come up and say, hey, they hear you on the radio, and they do come up and talk to me. I love it, and I love people giving me fishing tips.
You got to start fishing in your pink kayak so they can pick you up.
Yes, people do. Like, look for the pink kayak, and that's me.
You can't miss her.
Okay, well.
Pink kayak. And she's got a pink fishing rod. Everything she's got there is pink.
I'll look for her.
Oh, that would be great.
Well, if you ever see an 18-foot-long yellow tandem kayak, and the person in front is holding a red paddle and not paddling, that's me.
Okay. I will definitely look for you.
Okay. All right. Nice to talk to you, Ruth. Take care.
Nice to talk to you, too. Right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That was not the right answer. Good one, but a good guess. Do we have any other callers stacked up here? Thought you had a couple, didn't you? No? We have another
caller? Maybe everyone had that same guess.
Because of the two lines, I lost the other one,
okay.
too.
Okay. We accidentally cut you off, second caller, so if you'd like to try again, give us a call. 1-800-966-1039. We'll make sure we get you through the system. We have two engineers in there, so together they're going to figure it out. Oh, I'm a mean guy. I know what it's like to be in. A lot of pressure. More pressure than flying helicopters, right, Scotty? Yeah. Okay. We're looking for the answer to the question. We want to know what the famous salmon fishing pool is.
You got a caller.
And we're going to find out from this caller. Maybe. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
This is Ted from Amity.
Okay. Ted from Amity. You've been on our show before. I think you've been. You won one of my paintings, did you not?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Isn't that pretty good recollection for an old guy?
Huh? That's very good. That's very good art.
Okay. Anyway, how's things up in Amity? Are the potato blossoms in bloom yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. But soon, right? Another week or so, maybe? Hope so.
Probably.
Okay. You ready to take a stab at the question, Ted?
I'm ready.
Okay. Go for it, lad.
Salmon pool.
Salmon pool. No. Catherine is shaking her head in the negative.
No, I'm sorry. No.
Okay, no, that's not it. That's a good guess, Ted, but that's not it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, have a good day, and thanks for calling. Okay.
Okay.
All right, we want to know what that, it's a famous, it's the most famous pool on that stretch of river.
Thank you.
Below Ripogenus Dam, and it's very close to Ripogenus Gorge. Now, Big Eddy is way down below the gorge, as is some of these other pools, but it is not the Big Eddy, and it's not Salmon Pool. It's got a short name, and we're not going to give you any hints. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
This is Craig from Byfield, Mass.
Craig from where?
Massachusetts.
Oh, Massachusetts. Wow. That's great. Yeah. We'd love to have folks from Massachusetts. And Craig, what do you think you have the answer?
Yes, sir. I think it's the Turbinator.
No.
That's another good guess. That's,
everyone's guessing all the pools.
Well, that's the pool down below the turbines where all the dead smelt rise to the top. But that's not the right answer. But that's a good guess, though, Craig. And
thank you, sir.
We're particularly pleased that you're listening all the way down from Massachusetts. That's great.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thanks for listening, Craig. You'll be surprised when you hear the right answer if we get one. Thanks for listening, Craig. Okay, we have another caller. Wow, this is going to be a tough one. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
This is George from Willimantic.
George from Willimantic. Okay, George. How are you tonight?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm good.
Good.
The rain is going through.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Black flies are back.
Yeah, they are, for sure. What do you think the answer is, George?
Big Eddie?
No,
we had that one. That's not it.
Oh.
No. Good guess, but not the right one.
I know. Yeah.
And it's above the Big Eddy. It's upriver from the Big Eddy. Anyway, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, George.
Okay. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Gee whiz.
I'm nervous now.
Let's take another call. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. What's your first name? Where are you calling us from?
My name is John, and I'm calling from Cutler.
John from Cutler. Okay. I have a feeling, John, that you have the right answer.
Well, I don't know.
Go for it.
I'm gonna say the foxhole.
Woo! Yay! Good job.
That's exactly the right answer.
Really?
Yes. Good job.
Good going. It's the foxhole. You bet. And have you ever fished it?
I have never fished it, but I have a book that I won a few years ago on the same program, and it mentions it in it by Paul Fournier.
Oh yeah, it's a popular place. It's the most it's the most famous of all the fishing pools on the Lower West Branch. Anyway, that's the right answer, John. We're going to send you a beautiful Northwood Sporting Journal limited edition cap. Okay.
Well, that's great.
All right, and if you
very good.
Thank you, John, for listening and playing the game. And if you'll stay on the line, Norm or Scotty, one of the two, will get your mailing address, and I'll have that cap mailed out to you this week, okay?
Well, thank you very much, Paul.
Okay, John. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Catherine.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
All right. That was the correct answer.
My pleasure.
Thank you, sir. The foxhole is what you're looking for. A lot of good guesses, but it is the foxhole. And now we're going to get hooked up with Josh and Becca Reynolds, I think, to find out about how they made out on their canoe trip. And I think Norm is probably – well, Norm's got to get the address first, but we probably ought to take a no, we're not going to take a break yet. All right, we're going to wait for him to hook up. Again, we'll be talking to Josh and Becca Reynolds, and they did a 40-mile trek down the West Branch from below the Sebumik Dam all the way down to Chesuncook Lake. Now, some folks do that. They paddle the entire Chesuncook Lake. Wow. But Josh told me, ain't going to do that, Dad. Ain't going to paddle that whole lake. And I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to paddle it either. But anyway, they had a great trip, and we're going to have him share that with us as soon as we hook up with him. And we will just as soon as we clear the deck there with Mr. John down in Cutler. And we'll be hooking up with Josh. Then after the 7:30 break, we'll be talking to Bob Romano. Bob writes a column for the Northwood Sporting Journal, does a lovely job, has two or three books under his belt, and he also is a very knowledgeable Rangeley fishing guide. And we're going to ask him some questions about flies. We have Josh and Becca on the line?
I just got done with the call.
Oh, okay. Okay, he's busy, isn't he? Yeah. All right, so we'll do that. And have you ever been on a canoe trip?
I did the entire the entire Allagash Wilderness Waterway, all of it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Who'd you do that with?
With Colonel Jack Moser took a group of us down through. He's the head guide at Bradford Camps, and he's going to be on next week, actually, and talk a little bit about stuff. But we did the whole entire thing, and it was the most incredible, amazing experience. I did cry every day.
You cried every day?
I kid about it all the time. It was a very...
Physically demanding?
It was. We were the first week they opened it up, and it was freezing cold. We had frost on our tents.
Oh, my goodness.
And we had to have, some people had wetsuits. I had a dry suit. And, you know, we didn't dilly-dally. We did 20 miles a day, so we did it in 5 days. I don't recommend doing it that fast.
No, no.
But he was training a group of other guides, and we had to be back at a certain day because people had things to do. But it was, we saw moose and deer and people fished.
But you cried every day.
Wow. Well, it was cold. And, you know.
All right. Well, anyway, you got through it.
I had to put up my own tent. And,
Do we have Josh and Becca on the line? Are you there, Josh?
We are.
Is Becca with you?
She is.
I bet Becca didn't cry.
Oh, so did you hear Catherine? She, when she went down the Allagash, she cried every day.
I did hear that.
Did you cry every day?
There were no tears.
No tears. How about Becca? Did she cry at all?
Of course not.
Okay, that's great. All right.
Tears of joy.
Yeah, that's good.
That's great.
And you get you guys are lucky. You had good weather for it, right?
Yeah, the first night it was almost a frost.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the time it was stinking hot.
Was it really? And
Yeah.
Did you cool down in the river?
Oh yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were in the river every day. The river was pretty warm because
was it really
pretty low right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only not a lot of flow coming out of Subumic, so the water is pretty warm.
Yeah. So how many days did it take you to get from Subumic down to Shusankuk?
Well, we actually put in at Lobster Stream, which is quite a ways from Subumic, because of that water issue. So we put in Lobster Stream on a Sunday, paddled into Lobster Lake, and camped there the first night in a beautiful in Ogden Point, which is a gorgeous beachside campground that, you know, with a beautiful sunset, and then just kept going down the river, paddled back out into the West Branch on Monday, and spent, I guess, 3 or 4 days going down the West Branch to Shusankuk, and then a little north of there for one night.
Yeah. Wow. That's quite... So you paddle across Lobster Lake to get to the stream that leads into West Branch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's a nice little put-in right there below Roll Dam on Lobster Stream where it crosses the West Branch.
Yeah. Were there any surprises?
Any surprises?
Anything you didn't expect or anticipate?
Well, there's a few rocks here and there, but, you know, we got a battered old canoe that did just fine. You know, we never dumped.
Do you ever?
So no, I don't. There any surprises?
Yeah. Is Becca right there?
Yeah, right here.
Hey, Becca, how you doing?
Hey, Papa, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, so you had a good trip, too. You didn't cry at all, huh?
Oh, my gosh, I had an awesome time. It was great fun.
Yeah, and that's the first time you've ever done that, right?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely the first time. Josh gave me a lot of pointers and, you know, got us all set up with the right gear, and
so
we had a great time.
So you were both in the same canoe?
We were canoeing together. We were with three other couples.
See, I think that's helpful to have a partner in the canoe with you. I was supposed to have a partner, and I did not. So I paddled the whole 100 miles by myself.
Yeah,
that's why.
Oh, my goodness.
So I had a difficult time. Like, I had to wait down the front of my canoe with rocks sometimes.
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
Doing the rapids by myself.
Yeah.
And
good for you, though, Catherine.
Yeah, I'm never doing it again, but but thank you.
No wonder you cried.
Thank you.
I'd be crying, too.
So how was the food, Becca?
Oh, my gosh, it was fantastic. Our friend Stacy did an amazing job. She planned the whole menu.
Yeah.
And so every night we had a lovely meal and a signature cocktail to look forward to.
Ooh, I like
which
that.
Which really helped get us through some of the rougher days. So my favorite cocktail was probably the Cosmopolitan night, but we also had walking tacos and margaritas. Yeah. So, you know, after paddling 16 miles in a day, you know, knowing that at the end of the day you have a Cosmo waiting for you at the campsite is pretty amazing.
That is. That's awesome.
So you were pretty tired by the time nightfall came, I guess, huh?
I slept like a log.
Oh, that's good. So those.
Yeah, we got these really cool little cots at the recommendation of our friend Josh, who was also with us with his wife Beth. And
yeah, I saw you assembling though. Those are good. Those are great. They're light too.
Yeah, these little cots, little camp pillows, and I slept like a log. Oh, that's great. It couldn't have been any better.
That's
great. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, and for breakfast, you probably just had freeze dried oatmeal or something like that.
Oh no. We had breakfast burritos. That was my favorite.
Yeah.
Nice.
We had egg sandwiches one day. Stacy did an amazing job. She and Amy did all of the shopping and planning.
Oh, that's great.
And each couple cooked one night, and it was well orchestrated. Yeah. So
what did you
anyone get? Wants to learn about orchestrating a plan, Stacy's the person to talk to.
Oh, yeah. Planning is half the battle. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So what did you guys cook?
We made chili ahead and froze it, and then we baked sweet potatoes in the fire. So we wrapped them in foil and made
good.
Them beautifully.
Yeah.
So each person got a half a sweet potato and a scoop of chili, and then we made hand pies, which we took Pillsbury dough and like canned apple pie mix.
Yeah.
And we made pies and cooked them in the reflector oven, which Tim, one of our friends, had along his reflector oven, and that was really fun. And we did cornbread in there, too.
Oh, so man, that sounds great.
So good.
So I've had limited experience with reflector ovens, but it was always very negative. Things didn't turn out the way they should. But, Josh, do you feel like you're checked out on the reflector oven now?
Yeah, we had the first night trying to cook brownies, and it was kind of a failure.
Yeah.
And I think what I learned is with the reflector oven, you've got to get a good fire going, and you've got to get it right pretty close to the fire.
Yeah.
And not too much flame, but you want a lot of... So you really basically, you spend all your time just managing a fire and cooking on it. But the end result, if you do it right, is pretty great.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And... So when you're going downstream, you're going with the current, so you still have to paddle, though, to negotiate the rocks and so forth, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like, that was, for me, that was the most fun because, you know, I was a whitewater rafting guide, so I haven't done that forever. So
yeah.
Reading the river, to me, was really fun, and a piece of river I've never been, and there's nothing big on that section of the river, but when it's low water, there's a lot of rocks, and so it's fun to just pick your way through and try not to get out of the canoe. And still make it down through some skinny water. So
yeah,
for me, that was enjoyable. And there's enough current, so you're still booking along. Even if you just, you know, you paddle modestly, you're going pretty good until you get to the flat water. So at the end, you know, it flattens out, and there's 5 or 6 miles, I would say, maybe less than that, 3 to 4 miles where it gets flat towards the end, and you're just paddling kind of not moving water at the end of the West Branch as it goes into the... The top of Chesuncook.
Don't they rate streams like that, like 1 through 4? So you call it a very user-friendly river? I mean, could a novice go down through that if they didn't know how to read the water like you do?
Oh, 100%. The worst thing that's going to happen is you're just going to bang up on a rock. You might, or you're going to bottom out because you haven't figured out which channel, like which side of the river.
Yeah.
Is the right one, and you know, worst case, you just get out of the canoe. You know, you're going to stand up because it's not that deep, and
yeah.
Kind of bumble your way through it. But honestly, I found Onyx is an app, right? It's a satellite location hunting app. It was great because you could look at. I could go down the river and I could look ahead and I could see from the satellite where the rocks were,
River
right. That's cool.
Yeah,
you can see the rocks
right through. Well, yeah, you can see where it's darker, which is mean deeper water. So you're like, okay, river right here is, you see an island, you're like, which side do we go on? You could figure out ahead of time. So that was something I hadn't anticipated.
Yeah,
that
what a nice tool that is. Wow.
Yeah, it was really helpful.
Yeah, that was great. And everybody get along? Nobody had any fights or anything?
No. As everybody knows with trips like these, the real key is being with the right people.
Oh, yeah. That is.
We were 100% with the right people between you know, a couple of different, Stacy and Joel and Amy and Tim, they've paddled together a lot.
Yeah.
And of course, Josh and I are close friends, and yeah, so having the right people, it makes all the difference.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah, Josh and Beth are great. They used to live right across the lake from me, and I was Beth's cheering coach back, you know, when she was in high school. I'm old. I'll tell you, I'm really old. But they're a great couple.
You don't know what old is. Anyway, well, that's great. You guys had a wonderful trip, and of course, you were blessed by pretty darn good weather too. That can make quite a difference.
Yeah,
you know?
Great weather.
Oh yeah, it makes all a difference. But yeah. I highly recommend it. I was blown away by especially the campgrounds along that route.
Are they pretty good?
They are. Yeah, they choose well, you know what I mean? They're not going to put a campsite in a low spot on the river. They're going to find like a bluff or something, you know, that's really pretty with a great view. So that was impressive to me.
Yeah.
Like that, I hadn't anticipated that, but
that's great.
Really such a great trip.
Yeah, wow. Well, you had a wonderful trip. That's great. And we're going to break here and pick up another guest here in just a minute. We appreciate you and Becca being with us, and I'll see you soon.
Yeah, keep up the good work. We'll see you at the buoy.
Okay, I can't wait to get fishing with you, guy. Take care, Becca. Good. Take care take care of those dogs.
Will do.
Okay,
take care.
Love you. Bye bye.
Bye
bye. Okay, we're going to take. That was Josh and Becca Reynolds, who just did a 40-miler down the West Branch. We're going to talk to Bob Romano right after we take this break. Okay, we'll be talking to Bob Romano in just a second. I got a news flash here just now from the Maine Warden Service. Not good news. A man drowned this afternoon down on Chickawaukee Lake, I think that's pronounced, down in Rockland. Yeah. He was in a Zodiac-style boat. I'm not sure what that is. But apparently fell out, and the boat was circling with a dog still in it, and he's missing. His name is Timothy Payson. I guess he's from Rockland, 59 of Rockland, was the operator of the boat, and he's still missing, and they're searching. So
yeah, Zodiacs are inflatable.
Oh, yeah, that's like a dinghy. Yeah. Anyway, bad news, sad news for a lot of people, and be careful. Boating safety, very important. Keep that in mind as you get on the lovely waters of Maine. We have Bob standing by. Good evening. Are you there, Bob?
I am. Hello.
Hello to you, sir, and thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. You haven't met my co-host, but I'm going to introduce you to her. She's an avid fisherwoman, Catherine Gordon. Meet Bob Romano.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm good, Catherine. About yourself?
Oh, great. We're glad to have you here. I can't wait to hear all the good fishing tips and the flies to use, and glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, Bob, I watched at the Fly Fishing Festival there a week and a half, when was it, a week ago, was it? Flies. You did a great job. You had a little session tutorial there on all the favorite flies of the guides up in your neck of the woods, and I thought it'd be good to get you to come on and kind of review that. But before we do, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? I know I told them that you write a column, a great column for the Sporting Journal, that you have some great books. Tell the folks a little bit how you... Now, you're originally from the Bronx. How'd you wind up in Rangeley?
So, when my wife and I were dating, we spent a few days up at Bosbuck Mountain Camps on Aziskahas Lake, which is the most westerly lake in the Ranger Lakes region. And two kids from New Jersey, we had never seen country like that, and we just fell in love with it. And kind of looked at each other and said, this is really where we want to be. Came back the next year, and within 3 years, we purchased a camp on that same lake. And over 40 years later, we've been going up to camp each fishing season. Not only did I fall in love with the country itself, with the region itself, but as you know, the sporting tradition and the sporting history of that region really spoke to me, and the brook trout. So you put those three things together, and
a winning really combination. Yeah. Plus.
Yeah, yeah,
what I like about Rangeley, friendly people up there too. That's for sure.
Very much so.
Yeah.
They really took us in. I mean, as you say, two kids. I was born in the Bronx, but grew up in suburban New Jersey, and the folks there really, really took us in, and we really now feel that is our really second home.
You bet.
We spend as much time as we can, you know, at camp.
Yeah. Congratulations. That's a good choice you made. I can identify. All right. So you did a survey of the guides. There are a lot of guides up in the Rangeley area, but you talked to, I think, what, five or six of them, right?
Yep, that's right.
And including yourself, you're also a fishing guide, right?
Well, I'm not, actually. At the end of the program, I gave each guide's credentials and then would go into the flies that they chose. So when it came to me, my credentials, and I just want to read off of the program here. Let's see here. Yep, my credentials were a teller of tall tales and mediocre angler.
Before we talk about the other guides, I know from your writing that you are a fanatic trout fisherman, and as am I, and you mentioned two of your favorite flies, which kind of caught my attention. What are the two favorite trout flies that you use up in the Rangeley area, Bob?
I would say if I had one fly to choose, it would be the gold-ribbed hare's ear wet fly. Most people are aware of the gold-ribbed nymph, but this is the wet fly, and it's a fly that dates back to sometime in the early 1800s. I've tried to research its origin and really have been unable to come upon how it came about.
Yeah.
But it's a fairly simple fly, and I believe it imitates an emerging caddis.
Caddis, yeah.
And the Rangeley region is a caddis-rich environment. Everywhere you look, you find caddis flies, and I think that's why it works so well. And I've caught, in the smaller streams, I've caught, little brook trout. But I've caught 16, 17, 8-inch, 18-inch brook trout in the rivers.
Bob, I want to interject here. When you said that, it raised my eyebrows because, I've been around a little bit and an avid trout fisherman, and I've heard a lot of fly, but I didn't know there was such a thing as a hare's ear wet fly. Have you ever heard? Is that unusual for me to feel that way? I mean, do most fishermen know there's such a thing as a hare's ear wet fly?
That's a good question. Possibly not. When you hear people talk about wet flies in 2026, more often than not, they're talking about soft hackled wet flies. That's kind of the big thing now.
Right.
Sylvester Nems, really, here in the United States, was an advocate of that. It goes back to England. But this is a fixed winged wet fly.
It's a classic old wet fly. It's not like it doesn't have flashaboo or marabou or any of that stuff.
Nope.
Did you ever hear that fly? Norm's a fly
fisherman. I've heard of the hare's ear
nymph,
but I don't think I ever encountered a wet.
Yeah, so this is new. This is new ground.
It's a hare, hare rabbit's dubbing. These days, instead of just using it from a hare, you can buy dubbing in a store, and it's got a little sparkle to it.
Yeah.
Or you can just use again fur from a hare. The fixed wing, or it just snips from a mallard feather, and it's got some brown hackle as a tail.
Yeah,
and then of course it's got the gold tinsel that you wrap through it. And that's about it. It's about as simple a fly as you can tie, and it just works really well in different sizes. You can go anywhere from maybe a 12 all the way down to a 20. And it just really, really, I fish sometimes whole seasons. It's the first fly that if fishing aren't rising, that's the first a pattern that I'll put on, and I'll see how I do. And many times I never take it off.
I bet that would work well on the West Branch of Penobscot as well. They have a lot of caddis hatches there. I think that would be a good fly there. I got to get myself a couple of those, that's for sure.
They're in the mail to you.
Oh, they are? Oh, well.
Yeah, I sent a couple of them. They just mailed them out today, actually.
Oh, thank you, Bob. I hope they get... I'll be leaving for the West Branch at the end of the week. God bless you. I appreciate it. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, that was really nice of you to do that. Wonderful. What are your favorite waters up in that neck of the woods?
Well,
when nobody's looking, where do you go fishing?
Yeah, the Magalloway is one of the main. There are basically three major rivers up there. It's the Magalloway River, the Kennebago River, and the Rapid River. Now, you know, 40 years ago, when my wife and I started fishing there, there's a parking lot at the top of the Magalloway below the Atsiskahas Dam, and you'd pull in there, and maybe you'd see one vehicle. Well, honestly, these days you pull in, and you are going to see three or four vehicles in that parking lot. And as I get older, those are the rivers where anybody wants to get a trophy fish. I mean, those are the rivers that people are going to gravitate toward. As I get older, I'm fishing the backwoods streams. Some of them, I wouldn't even know what their names were. You can catch 20, 30 fish in an afternoon, and not one of them is going to be larger than 10 inches. Most will be, you know, palm sized and smaller.
Yeah, that's,
these are all native brook trout.
That's fine with me. That keeps me happy. I don't have to have an old lunker. Just want some action.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I like to. I don't want to see another angler if I can help it. And some of those streams, it's just miles and miles. And if you do see another angler, you can just, you know, drive another 3-4 miles into the backwoods.
Yeah.
And get out and you'll be on your own.
And
that's usually where you'll find them.
Okay. Would one of those backwoods streams be the Cupsuptic?
You're trying to get me to name names here. I'm trying to avoid it.
I know. I can't help myself. You know, I like to find out where people go, you know.
I tell you what, you can shoot me an email, and I'll be happy to one of the backwoods streams.
Okay, we appreciate it. All right, I'm gonna get off that kick, and let's talk about some of the guides. You named a whole bunch of guides. One of them you named was Leslie Hilliard. He's not a guide, is he, Leslie Hilliard?
No, he's not. Leslie and his father. They wrote the coffee table style book on Cary Stevens, and they also got together and they wrote the book on Herbert Welch. You know, two of the more notable fly fishing folks.
Those are icons in the Rangeley area, right? Those are big names.
Very, very much so. Mm-hmm. Leslie's father has since passed, and like his father, Leslie is really a historian of the sport. He collects antiques and memorabilia, anything having to do with the sporting history of the Rangeley region.
And according to my notes that I took here during your tutorial.
Yeah.
The two favorites for him are the Green Beauty and the Jitterbug.
That's correct.
And I was surprised. Yeah. Jitterbug is a Cary Stevens fly, right?
Yeah. It's an amazing looking fly. I joked about it in the program. You know, if you look at it, it looks like some kind of science fiction sort of thing. You have to think that it would take fish.
Yeah.
But Leslie says that is a wonderful pattern, and to fish it deep, using it as a trolling pattern, he says it works very well. And I think a modern version of that, which, you know, people listening would be more aware of, is the Golden Retriever.
That's my fly.
That's a deadly fly.
And that's another pattern. I look at the Golden Retriever like the Jitterbug, and I said, that just cannot possibly take fish. But they cannot keep that pattern in stock.
It does very well.
So yes, well. Yeah. Grand Lake Stream, doesn't it, Norm?
Yeah, I should bring some up and sell when I'm there.
Yeah, that's a big fly down at Grand Lake Stream, Bob.
Yeah, that so there you go. Yeah. And it's interesting. Compare that with another pattern, the Hornburg, which of course you all know.
Yeah.
And neither one of those patterns, although we treat them as second nature in Maine, neither one of them were created by somebody living in Maine. The Golden Retriever was created by a Virginia fly tire.
Yeah, his name is Finn. I did a story on him in the Journal a couple of years ago. Nice guy.
Oh, is that right?
Name is Finn.
Okay, yes.
He sent me a whole bunch of Golden Retrievers too, at no charge. That was a nice thing.
Originals.
Yeah, I mean,
he's like you.
And then the Hornburg, as you know, because you just did an article on the Hornburg, I think just a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I love the Hornburg.
Yeah, that was tied by a game warden. His name was Hornburg from Wisconsin.
Yeah, I just Googled. Yeah. I Googled that.
Like, Tom Hornburg.
Frank Hornburg.
I mean, Frank Hornburg. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a little trivia with the Rangeley. We just got a phone call from a gentleman who says that in 1957, when he happened to be there in Rangeley, there was a motorcade that came through town with Eisenhower in it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He fished up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just happened to be there when the motorcade went through.
I wonder what kind of flies Eisenhower used. You have no idea, Bob, huh?
No, I don't. But I can tell you he fished. He stayed at the camp up at Parmacini Lake.
Yep.
And he fished Little Boy Falls, which is a classic brook trout salmon pool on the upper stretch of the Galloway River.
Yeah, okay.
I couldn't tell you what flies that he fished. Very well be wet flies. I wouldn't be surprised. It was a gold rib hair's ear. Who knows?
Believe it or not, Bob, we're up against the clock here. We're almost out of time. Tell our folks how to get your books before we leave, would you? If somebody wants to buy your books, how do they get them?
Sure. So, of course, you can get them at on Amazon, but I would prefer that you can go to any of the stores in Rangeley. There's Hook Lines and Sinkers, Hook Lines and Sinkers rather in Rangeley. There's the Rangeley Fly Shop on Main Street, and you can order that either online or through the mail, or just give them the shop a call, or they can email me for autographed copies. My email is pretty easy to remember. It's McGalloway. McGalloway, that's the name of the river, McGalloway@mac.com.
Okay, we are just about out of time. Bob, thank you so much for being with us, and good luck to you. Good luck to you on the Trout Rivers, and again, thanks for sending me some flies. I appreciate that, and we'll be talking to you soon.
And nice to meet you, Catherine.
Yes, you too, Bob.
Okay. Bye-bye
now.
Thanks, Bob. Take care. I'm going to go fishing for a while, and Catherine's going to take over next week, and your guest is?
We have Woody Higgins talking about big award, the Penobscot County Conservation Association won, and Jack Mosier from Bradford Camps.
See you all next week right here on Maine Outdoors.